each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay.
It's busy. Busy okay. Morning.
We say that every day. Every day is a busy day.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, it's Shrove Tuesday, which means the day before Lent. I cannot believe that we are at the door of Lent.
Yes.
It's hard to believe. It's just a month ago it was Christmas, right?
That's right.
Less than a month ago.
Yeah, because we...
No. This is February. We're in February. So it's almost too... Well, whatever. Anyway.
Well, it depends if you count, if you're thinking of... The Feast of the Presentation, you know, like the old calendar.
Yeah,
Christmas.
If we follow the old calendar, then we're, you know, just a couple of weeks
just
away.
Just got
right?
off the so anyway. Christmas.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. I am Father Anthony. I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We've just come out of a nine-day stretch of snow, although yesterday it didn't snow, but I was reading that this is the first time since the 1920s that Chicago had 9 days, consecutive days of snow.
Wow.
I think that's what I read.
Huh. There's a lot of snow out there.
I don't know if that's true or not, because in 78, 79, when I was a novice, it seemed to snow every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Or even like in 2014 when we had the polar vortex, it seemed like it just snowing and then it would drop. You know, temperature.
I think I was in Rome for that. That was in January,
it
right?
It was in January. Oh, so you were
I think
in,
I was in
you
Rome.
Were retreat in Rome,
yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Anyway, but the sun... I haven't been outside. The sun's shining, I'm assuming, no?
It's a little cloudy out there.
Okay.
It was shining yesterday.
So I have to tell you, you know, I had this recurring dream, a nightmare. Can I tell you about this? Because it came to fruition yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. You remember?
Yes.
So I have this dream. This is a recurring dream. And in the dream, a lot of times, for whatever reason, I'm at St. Hyacinth, or I'm here at St. Stanislaus, or I might be at a church in Rome. But in the dream, I'm frantically trying to get ready for Mass. So people are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So in the dream, I'm conscious of the fact that people are waiting and that I'm not able to get anything ready. So I'm tying my shoes, or the shoestring breaks, or I can't get my vestments on, or I can't get the cincture tied. You know, this is the belt that we wear around the alb. I can't get it tied, or I'm looking for the right color of vestment, you know, for the right season, and I can't seem to find it. The books, sometimes I'm trying to find the Roman Missal, or I can't find the page that I'm looking for to get things ready. But in any case, it's a recurring dream that I have this a lot of times. There's only two recurring dreams I have. That's one of them. The other one is I'm in a plane, and the plane is going down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not down like it's supposed to go down. It's like it's going to crash.
Yes.
But then the plane is actually going through the city, through the streets of a city or whatever. But anyway, those are two dreams. So this one was, but this one that I really experience so often is this inability to get to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to Mass, and people are waiting. And the church is usually packed, and people are waiting, and I'm not able to get things together. And I think it's probably because there's oftentimes in preparation for Mass, there's all that sudden preparation. Or
yes.
Certainly on Sundays, we're going from Mass to Mass. It's almost a marathon of mm-hmm. Masses and in different languages and all sure. that, too. So that's can provoke a little bit of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, today is the day that I was really, I began this almost a full-time. I'm always in full-time schedule. I'm always
yes.
living full-time, but... But having Mass on a more regular basis, whereas I've been having priests come in during the week, during this time of recuperation and the like. But anyway, so last night I didn't have the Mass in the evening, and I had a stressful day. I was dealing with a lot of stuff because of the snow. I had been, hadn't even been outside, so I had to make some errands, mm-hmm. do some errands. And then I was just taking care of a lot of desk
sure.
things and correspondence and mm-hmm. calls and all this kind of stuff.
And parish stuff.
Parish things, all yes. that stuff. So it's just it's Monday, it's after the weekend, it's after days of snow,
mm-hmm.
being basically cooped up inside. And so it was a very long, stressful day. And I was looking forward. I finally got to that point where I was just not winding down, I was shutting down. I was actually mm-hmm. shutting down. My body was shutting down, and so I thought, okay, thank God. You know, the priest is coming for the Mass in the evening, so I went and I prepared my marinara sauce and my pasta, and I was very happy, peaceful, because I'm going to go upstairs, I'm going to eat, listen to the radio, and and I got to my room, and I changed my clothes, so I was in
comfortable
clothes, you
mm-hmm.
know. Not pajamas, but sweat clothes. Mm-hmm. What do they got? Sweatpants and
dress down clothes.
Yeah, dress down. Mm-hmm. I only wear that in my room. Dress down clothes. So you're really relaxed.
Sure.
You know, and just sit down. It's a little after 7, and mm-hmm. there's a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and Tyrone, the sacristan, said, "Loungewear." There you go. Thank you, Nick. Loungewear. So I don't know, when you say loungewear, I think of women's loungewear. So,
which pretty much means pajamas.
Pajamas.
Yeah, loungewear is like pajamas.
So, yeah. But anyway, so he comes knocking on the door and he says, you know, there's no priest for the Mass. So I said, oh no. It's okay. I'll be there, you know. So my nightmare coming to fruition. I got down there, and I just assumed that everything was set on the altar and all that, but nothing was prepared. Although they had the chalice on the altar, uh-huh. but they had it covered in purple. So we're not in Lent yet.
Yeah, that's Tyrone for you.
So I'm going down the stairs. I'm in the sacristy. I'm trying to get struggling to get the vestments on, get the chasuble on, and I had to redress, of course, you mm-hmm. know. I put proper clothes on, even though I'm wearing the clothes under all the vestments. I go into the sanctuary to make sure the books. I had to take the book and get it in place I saw they had the wrong color there. And anyway, it was just the people are waiting, and I'm like a chicken without a head, trying to do all this, and I'm still recuperating. So I realized my body's just not there. So by the time I started the Mass, I thought I was going to collapse. I really thought I was going to collapse, and couldn't even. It was very hard to even speak. But it went well, and I think it was providential because at communion time I saw there was a couple, and they were in the front off to the side
mm-hmm.
in front of the shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and so I realized that she was struggling to get up to come to the altar rail.
Uh-huh. So you went over.
So I went to her first, and so when I gave her communion, the husband said, you know, can we talk to you after the Mass? And I thought, oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
It was my thought was, please don't ask me. You know, and I says, yeah, of course, absolutely. You know, so we'll see me after Mass. So we had, you know, everybody mm-hmm. received, and the Mass was over, and I brought them into my office, mm-hmm. and I was with him for quite some time. But and so I think, you know, maybe for that reason
it was
providential. They had come from the far south side of Chicago, and they wanted to see me for a reason. So I thought, okay, it all worked out fine. So, but it was
And for me, it was stressful too.
Yeah, you better believe it.
I had the priest ready, and I even called to confirm. But you know, always stuff happens. But Tyrone comes here knocking on my door, and I'm like, now what? And I hate those knocks.
Sure.
And he said, there's no priest. And I'm like, really? You're telling me this now after 7 o'clock? Why didn't you? Where were you?
You said that to him?
I said it.
Poor Tyrone. The wrath of Christina.
I said, why didn't you tell me before? You know, if Lorenzo would have been here, because Lorenzo wanted to take a break.
Right.
So, Tyrone will be here. But Lorenzo, when the priest is not here, he tells me, and that gives me time to get someone else.
Sure.
I always have backup fire.
Sure.
So here comes Tyrone after 7 o'clock. I'm like, really? Why didn't you tell me this? If you saw that they were not here for confession, I thought they went straight to the confession. I'm like, you should check because you never know.
See the drama of the parish, right?
My God, I thought I was going to, I'm like, and he said, well, go tell Father. I said, no, yeah. You go tell
go
Father.
Tell Father, yeah.
I said, I can smell the food. He just probably
exactly.
just got up there.
Put a lot of garlic in that marinara sauce.
I know, and it smelled just so good. I'm like, no, now you go up there and you tell them I am not. I said, I could have had a priest here if you would have told me earlier. I was upset. I was like, oh, my
God. No, I know you
were.
You stayed, and after the Mass, you were in the sacristy.
Yeah, because I felt terrible.
Sure, you should have. I'm glad you did, because, misery loves company. No, but I have to say the gospel was beautiful because it was a very, very short gospel. And in the gospel, Jesus is frustrated. He's really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, let me see if I can find it here, because I thought, I didn't know even what the gospel was. And what was yesterday's date?
Yesterday was the 12th.
It was Monday, right?
Monday the 12th.
Yeah, so this little gospel. So the Pharisees, they came forward, they began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed from the depth of his spirit. He sighed from the depth of his spirit, and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? And he says, amen, amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat, and went off to the other shore. But it was just this, I could feel the frustration, and he sighed from the depth. And it just, when I read that, it drew me, and it became the source of the homily,
mm-hmm.
because people could see that I was debilitated. I mean, it really was, because mm-hmm. I was running down the stairs trying to get dressed,
and that's stress.
And I'm recuperating.
You're recuperating,
you know?
And you don't need the.
So and I realized, then your body says, I'm gonna collapse here. And I thought at one point that I was gonna literally collapse. I had to, even before I could start the Mass, I had to just pause, and just kind of take in a few deep breaths, and. Anyway, but when I got to the gospel, I just thought, wow, the humanity of Jesus, mm-hmm. He groans, he sighs, he's full of anxiety, he says, my heart is heavy. I mean, there's so many, this is the beauty of the gospel, and that's why I say so often we have to get into the story, because, and this is the marvel, the beauty of our God, is that he did condescend, and he did take on our humanity. And his humanity did impose certain limitations on his divinity. So Jesus was tired. He was mm-hmm. lonely. He was anxious. He had a heavy heart. He groans in his prayer. He sighs from the depths of his spirit. There's even at a couple of points there, we just, in this frustration, you just don't get it. You don't understand. You've been with me this long, and you don't understand. I love this about mm-hmm. Christ, because that's the way it is, right, in life.
Yes.
The gospel was a source of great consolation,
consolation.
To me and for me in that space, in that time, and it was and I could convey it to the people, mm-hmm. and I could see that the people, they knew well
they
what I was talking about, because
yeah.
of course they're coming from the work of a day.
Sure.
They've all come. They've been working all day. They're coming
stress.
To Mass,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to wait, and they did so patiently,
mm-hmm.
and they. Nobody complained, and they don't. People don't complain.
And they were probably even happy to see you.
I hope so.
No,
I know
they. But it all.
And
it
by
all,
the way, uh-huh. I don't even know that I've had a daily Mass since I've been back. And then later I realized
that
I did
Mass?
Have one Friday. I had the funeral came back, and then last Friday I had a Mass. But it was with the snow. There was only a handful of people.
Sure.
Because everybody was kind of basically snowed out.
And I always forget, because I'm here, so we get to see you. But right. A lot of people, you haven't had masses the week.
Right,
masses
I haven't. Right. But this week I'm back into
you're
it.
Back.
So I was hoping to start today, but I started. It was like sink or swim. I had I was forced into it yesterday.
But people haven't seen you at
right.
the mass,
like at the weekday masses. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
and so this week, by the way, I do want to mention this, that I'm going to begin this evening. And actually, I'm going back to the confessions from 5 to 6:30. So I start this evening, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I say that because before I was doing 4:30 to mm-hmm. 6, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And because, as I was going through this treatment, for those who might be new listeners, you know, I've been in this, I guess they call it battling cancer for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't consider it so much a battle, but I guess in a sense it is.
Sure.
Because you've got to go through the treatments and all that. And
you have to keep on it.
Keep on it. And mm-hmm. I'd ask the doctors mm-hmm. told me, maybe it was about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. I don't know how long ago, they said you've got to rest and you've got to avoid stress, in order to, so that your body will assist, or this, I need a strong immune system to work with this new therapy. This is I'm in a clinical trial, so it's an experimental therapy. So I said, wow, how do you rest and avoid stress? You die. That's the only way to do that. But so at that point, I had to pull back a little bit, and that's when we brought in other priests during the week, mm-hmm. and I had to cut back on the confessional
sure.
time. But this week, I'm starting, back. I was going to start today. I begin today, but I actually began yesterday. So anyway, but that was the nightmare that came to fruition. It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
When you know people are waiting, and you're just beside yourself
uh-huh.
as to how
to
get everything
get
ready.
Fast,
very quack. Very quick.
Quick.
Felt like a quack. Quick. Very quick. What's a quack?
Quack is when the ducks when
crazy.
They quack.
No, what else is a quack? What isn't something crazy? I felt a little bit crazy.
Crazy.
Anyway, all right. We will take our first break, and hopefully Tony will fly into the studio. He should be at the door. I mm-hmm. think. I hope. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. Name 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, Tony. I'm so happy you're here.
Father, I gotta say, I'm sitting in the car, and I know I have to say this because you're never gonna listen to the show.
Never.
So I'm sitting here feeling very guilty that I'm late, right?
Sure.
And I'm listening to the 15 minutes. I'm sitting there. I got this picture in my mind. You and your smoking jacket.
Smoking jacket? What's that?
It's like a lounge. When you said loungewear,
my mind... Nick said that. Yeah. Nick told me that.
That's good.
That's for the women.
But then, no, actually, you relax, you sit.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm sitting there thinking. I got the picture in my mind. Sure. It's like for 15 minutes of show, people don't realize these things are not scripted. This just happens. And it's good to see the spirit guide.
Sure.
So I'm listening to this story and I'm thinking, I get this picture in my mind. Here's Father Tony sitting in a smoking jacket, a loungewear type of thing.
I've never heard that smoking jacket before.
Well, that's for, it's for
have you?
I thought a smoking jacket was when you're all dressed up.
Well, yeah, that's the way I see it.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Smoking, that's the way you see it.
Right. And that's a mistake as it is right there. But and then I'm listening to Christina.
Exactly right. Yes, I say the wrath of Christina.
Yeah, you just could. The people that know the situation.
You have to know, it's the personalities
and
characters.
And the people that know Tyrone.
Yeah, we love Tyrone.
Right.
Yes.
And he loves us.
But to see the picture, I mean, it just said that I couldn't stop.
And the people that know me.
And I love you, Tony, because I say it's always nice. You're so affirming,
Right.
I can be a disaster or do a horrible job.
No, and then there's a part of me too. It's like, okay, here I'm feeling guilty. I want to be here, but that like again, not being here to listen in on this is just it's great.
Anyway, well, you should have been there.
It tells you how human people.
Well, see, that's the thing about our faith. We live the faith in reality.
Right.
So
yes.
We're not, as I say, I haven't said it for a long time, have I? But I'll say it. We're not flying high.
No.
We're in the trenches.
Not after a story like
sometimes
that.
We're in the gutter.
Most of the time we're in the gutter.
Most of the time we're in the gutter.
Like
we have to get out of the gutter into the trench.
But it's
always
a like
fight.
Hell.
It feels like hell.
Somebody
certainly is a purgation.
Oh,
this
is
the purgation. This is the purgatory right here.
I was talking on the phone with somebody, and we were saying how life is so hard. And
what was me? Oh, what was me?
And then I said...
We're the most... this has got to be the most depressing radio program in the history of
radio.
It's real. But we were saying how life is hard, and then you think, you feel like you're in purgatory. And I said right away, no, I feel like I'm in hell.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know what, we didn't want to say. I'm like, why not? Let's just say
not?
It. Say it like it is.
Well, you wish that life could be a little bit less stressful. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
I marvel at, and I go back, I love sacred scripture because... It's so, because talk about reality, that is reality.
Yes.
And, sometimes when I think, we've got to be kind of delicate and soft and, don't rock the boat and, make it comfortable for people. I can't do that because I can't do it for myself and I don't want to do it for others, but I have to be sensitive. We have to be prudent. I think prudence is one of the key virtues. So that especially in this day and time when things are so inverted, so upside down, I say it, we're in this diabolical disorientation. And so on one hand, things may seem fine and good and everybody's got a happy smile, whatever. It's just we've kind of evolved, we've progressed, and so we're no longer bound to antiquated thinking or, the old... values or principles that would keep us, within certain bounds. A regard for the commandments of God. We seem to have, as a society, we seem to have dispensed with those commandments, and everything is kind of, do whatever. You do your thing, I do my thing. Just no judgment. That's the thing. And so, okay, it seems like. By the way, I was reading. This is kind of related. So, the nation, I'm starting to read a little bit on the history, kind of a refresher course for myself on politics, because I don't want to get into the whole political thing, but I mean, it's so complex, so disheartening, really, what's happening in the political sphere in our own nation. And so it's trying to understand, really, what constitutes the United States of America, and it is that we're a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. And I've been reading on that and how democracy is, because democracy is majority rule, right? It ends up being mob rule, and it ends up evolving into, into anarchy. And it seems like unless we can reestablish a moral basis upon which to build or rebuild the nation. We're gonna we're really gonna destroy ourselves in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
We are a constitutional republic, which means we're a nation of laws,
mm-hmm.
A constitution and laws, in order to safeguard. It's the very thing that we speak about when we speak about the faith. You know, why did God give us the Ten Commandments? But to safeguard the proper well-being of a people, so that we be so that we can together live in a proper freedom. What we've opted for is freedom, which is translated the free reign of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, and we bring this up quite often, but you know, the violence in the movies, the vulgarity,
mm-hmm.
and the I mean, tell me where. Okay, yes, of course there are. I don't see a lot of movies, but I'm certain, and I've seen good movies that really do a great service
mm-hmm.
to virtue and heroism and challenge you to a mm-hmm. better life, to rise above yourself. But so much today is so it's vile, it's filth, it's violent, it's vulgar, and you know, just perverted or distorted sexuality. It's weird, you know. I say weird because it's really contrary to the when I say that the good. Well, I'll tell you. Let me bring this back to the scriptures. I wanted to go back to the scriptures on Sunday, and I said, you know, sacred scripture, everything is there. But what struck me, and I don't know quite that I was able to communicate this in the homily on Sunday, but I've been thinking about this since then, because in the first reading from the book of Leviticus, which is a book of the law, there were, in the Old Testament, among the Hebrew, the Israelites, the Jewish people, there were 600-plus laws. Now, God gave the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And I refresh your memory, you know, the scripture says from the book of Deuteronomy that if you, okay, I give you these laws, fulfill them, love them, obey them, and you will prove yourselves, you will show yourselves to be a dignified, a noble, wise, intelligent, knowledgeable people. And you will be the envy of other nations. And they're going to say, you know, who are these people? Or what kind of God do they have that they have this dignity, this nobility, this grace, this intelligence, this wisdom, right? So those are the Ten Commandments. But then in the book of Leviticus, we've got all these other laws that come into play. It's 600 plus. I don't know if all those 600 are encoded in the book of Leviticus, but some of it is really quite harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the first reading from the book of Leviticus was speaking about the leper, and that the leper had to show himself to the priest, himself or herself to the priest, and had to understand that he or she is impure, contaminated. I think in the Spanish they use the word contamination. Mm-hmm. In English, in fact, I've got it right here too. So let me. So this is Moses. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "So if a man is leprous and unclean,
mm-hmm.
the priest shall declare him unclean. And the one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and shall muffle his beard, and he shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean,' and he should be kept outside his abode, outside the camp, away from the people." Well, you know, that sounds really harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. But there are even harsher laws that I don't want to go into because they're really rather violent.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to understand and this is a big a source of conflict for a lot of people who are quickly accuse Well, they'll accuse Judeo-Christianity because, of course, the Bible is the whole Bible, the Old Testament is part of our sacred scripture. It's the old covenant that will evolve into the new covenant in the messianic moment in time. But the point is that God had set this people apart. These people were set apart. And so they had to avoid any kind of contamination, any kind of deviation from the covenant that they had with God, because God was, through the course of many centuries, forming, purging, really, this is people were undergoing a purgation, a transformation, a formation, a sanctification, because from this people the Messiah would come. And so they had to be bound together, and they had to have a good sense of their own identity as a people and remain faithful to the covenant. Now, they don't, of course. You know, nothing new under the sun, just as if we were to look into the church, into Christianity, any religion, there are all kinds of deviations. Those who are indifferent, lukewarm, backsliders, those who are hostile even to their own identity as Christian, as Catholic, whatever it might be. I mean, this is a no-brainer, right? It's the truth. In fact, today they say that the greater part of the church are non-practicing Catholics. Yes. There are more non-practicing Catholics than there are practicing Catholics. And that would be the case in, I think, probably all the denominations in Judaism and in all religions, perhaps. I don't know about Islam. I think that would be maybe a different, the horse of a different color. I don't know. But the point being that these people had almost a scrupulous need to safeguard and protect their identity. They were enclosed. In other words, they were enclosed. They were turned in on themselves, and so they didn't engage with others, you know, because that would be a sort of contamination, or could bring impurity into the covenant. Now, they do it themselves, and therefore, you know, through the course of history, they suffer chastisements. God breaks them down in order to rebuild them. He breaks them down in order to rebuild them. They lose their status as a nation. They're sent into exile. They come back. They're able to rebuild the temple. There's always, but in it all, God ensures a very small flock, that we would call the Anawim, those who do remain faithful. And it's really literally from them, those who read well the signs of the times and are very much attuned because they have a great sensitivity to the covenant and to the teachings. And, of course, they have an understanding of, because certainly with all this other stuff, there is the call to charity and to mercy and to show deference to the foreigner and all that kind of stuff. So, but if something or someone's going to come to dislodge or to disrupt or to bring impurity into the religion, then that they had to sever them. And when it comes to the leprosy, of course, it's very contagious, very contagious. So naturally, they had to be quarantined in a sense. We would call that today quarantine, but it was to safeguard the health of the community and the future well-being of the community as well. But to our ears, it sounds very, very harsh. In the gospel, and this is what happens in the messianic age when God comes from among this people, the Word is made flesh. We just celebrated that in the Christmas season. Jesus was conceived, the Son of God, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the grace and the power of the Spirit. She gives birth to the Messiah, has to nurture the life of the Christ, you know, from infancy through childhood into adolescence, and then he sets off into his mission. Which is what? But to teach and to heal, to sanctify, but most especially to save. To save. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. And He does that through the laying down His life, the offering of Himself in expiation for sin, in atonement for sin. But in the gospel that we read, he touched. The leper went to him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. And Jesus, the gospel says, again, here goes, I was talking about this, the humanity of Christ, the humanity of God. He was moved with pity, and he stretched out his hand, and he touched him. He touched him. You're not supposed to do that, but he touched him. And he says, I do will it. Be made clean. And the leprosy left him. He sent him to the priest, but warned him to show the priest what marvel God had done. But he told him not to say this to anyone, to keep quiet, because he hasn't yet revealed his messianic identity. This only comes toward the end of his journey, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, the leper, he couldn't contain himself. He publicized the whole matter. And the gospel said that the report spread abroad, so much so that Jesus, it was impossible for him to enter a town openly, because everybody was coming to him for what purpose? But to be healed, to be liberated, to be to have the demons exorcised from their lives. And if you remember, everybody, this is the demons were the ones who knew him. They recognized him mm-hmm. from the beginning. Nobody did. Even when Peter professes Jesus to be the Christ, and Jesus says, you know, Simon, I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, because no mere man has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So at that moment, Peter is responding to the inner working of the Spirit and identifying Christ, but he doesn't get it. So later on, Jesus says, you know, you've been with me, you know, but you don't understand, you don't get it. And they're not going to really understand until the Spirit is conferred. This is after the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So what's interesting, we'll take a break after this, but what's interesting is Jesus couldn't enter openly into the towns because people were coming at him from all mm-hmm. sides, and he wants to bring them to a deeper understanding. So the miracles, not everybody was cured, but the fact that he did, he was compelled, he was moved to bring healing and liberation, but his the main purpose of his life was to liberate a soul in bondage, you know, to awaken the soul, awaken people to the reality of God and God's closeness to his people. And God is a merciful God, a redeeming God, who wants to set us free and will set us free from our slavery to sin and death. What's interesting is at the end of his journey, he's not, and we're going to, by the way, so today is Shrove Tuesday, tomorrow Ash Wednesday, so we go into the 40-day penitential season that will culminate in the Holy Week and the Sacred Triduum, the holy, high holy days of the Church, where we enter into the whole Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we get to that time, as we get close to the end of Lent into Holy Week, we're going to see that Jesus, he's not able to openly enter into the town, not because people are coming to him for the great signs, but because there's already these nefarious forces, this dark force that wants now to destroy him. And that would be evident in the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes. And so it's a little bit different. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. And I was reflecting on this, how in some ways today in the climate in which we live, in the society, as believing Christians who have a sensitivity to the faith, a sensitivity to God, in some ways we almost are not able to openly profess our faith in the public square, and yet we have an obligation to do that because we're called, unlike the Jewish people of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. Who were set apart, We're called not to be set apart. We're set apart for a purpose, but that purpose is to engage with others in the world. Do you follow me when I say that, you know? So we'll take a break. We'll come back and maybe look at that a little bit more. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So do you follow me what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, Father.
Because I think it's interesting, you know, we have the difference between Christianity, or let's say certainly Catholicism, the Mother Church, because we go back to the, I mean, there's a continuity, the apostolic succession. What are the signs of the church? Let's see, do you remember what are the signs? There are the four signs of the church. The true church. Now, this isn't to negate the fact that all Christians are Christians. If they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're Christian. But they're Christians not in communion with the Mother Church. We say the Mother Church is the Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal. So the Messiah comes from this nation in order to move beyond the nation to envelop, to embrace all nations. So what are the four signs of the church? I guess this is a little test. We'll see. Christina always...
I'll let Tony, because I've been talking.
You've been talking. See how she gets out of it. What are the four signs of the church?
When I don't have a clue, you're going to... One?
One, yes. Exactly.
Catholic. Oh, wait. Yeah, one Catholic, right. Apostolic.
Apostolic.
I don't remember the last one.
Catholic,
one Catholic apostolic.
So Jesus founded one church. He said, guard against division. Satan is going to deceive and divide. Mm-hmm. That's his work. He's a deceiver. He divides in order to destroy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord begged and prayed. Not only did he beg the, I say beg, I'm using that word, but it's, pleading, or let's just say from the depths of his heart, he's saying, safeguard the unity among yourselves, mm-hmm. because the devil will come and he'll try to divide. And indeed he did. He does. And his high priestly prayer to the Father after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, which is really the source of our unity, is that we're bound together so long as we can partake in the Eucharistic gift and the sacred mysteries of the faith. But we have to be properly disposed, and we have to be baptized, and certainly profess this mm-hmm. Faith, which is one. So he founded one church.
One church.
The church is divided. We would say even within the church, there's a lot of division right now. There's mm-hmm. just like politically, there's so much division politically mm-hmm. speaking in the nation. The church is not spared that division. But we're still, you know, while we may be divided, I'm speaking about the Catholic Church, you know, those who are practicing the faith, we're still in our divisions. We're still bound together, united in the Eucharist. And we have to, you know, rise above, by the grace of the Spirit, to rise above this divisiveness. But it means we've got to really put our attention to the voice of God. Mm. And it's because we're not set apart, because we're set apart, but and that's where we're set up. We're set apart when we come into the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. We're set, because not everybody can just come and partake. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be, and other Christians don't partake in our Eucharistic into our sacred mysteries. They can mm-hmm. be there present, but they can't partake of the Eucharist if they don't profess our faith. It wouldn't make any sense, right?
Yes.
Because it would be a false unity. It would be an expression of a false unity. So in any case. But we're set apart in order to be sent into the marketplace and to give witness, to give testimony, to make profession of faith in a public way, in word as well as in deed. And that's why I'm saying we don't. It's almost as if we can't enter openly into the marketplace because of the those forces that are rather nefarious that work against or have little regard, no regard, or are even hostile. To the faith, and will fixate on those who do deviate, those who do pervert or distort the faith, right? Or those who create scandal. They'll use that as justification. You know, that's why we need the saints in our time. We need saints. We've got to strive for this kind of sanctification, and that's why Lent is so important, because it's collectively speaking, we enter into this work of purgation, transformation, sanctification. So the church. So Jesus founded one church. Mm-hmm. One church. One. You said Catholic, which means that it is universal. That God intends that everybody, you know, that the door be open to all. That's why in St. Peter's in Rome, Bernini, when he created the plaza, the square, he did so. He designed it in such a way that it's like two arms that are open. Mm-hmm. In order to receive the whole of humanity, and what other man, really? I mean, can you think of anybody who can go anywhere in the world and really draw thousands or even millions of people to himself, whether in Africa, whether in Asia, whether in South America, mm-hmm. Europe? Although the church is going to this is an inconvenient time. It's mm-hmm. it's not a season time, as St. Paul would say. You know, so there is this radical secularization that has powerfully infiltrated the church and has decimated, in many ways, the church. So this is, I would always say this is, we're in a time of the need for the Anawim, the little flock mm-hmm. that's keeping faith, suffering the faith in a time of, in an inconvenient time when we got all these forces. We can't lose our sensitivity. We got to keep our attention ever focused on God. And the Decalogue, you know, fulfilling the laws of God, and conscious of who we are for the world. So, this is one Catholic universal. That means universal. What began in one nation, the Messiah comes out of this one nation. The Messianic moment is a moment when, as he sends the apostles to go to all the world to Catholicize. That's what Catholic means, to Catholicize, to universalize. And so they went. They went all over. So one Catholic, apostolic, you said, right? So that, ours is an apostolic faith. So there's this succession from Peter and the apostles to the current, the Pope and the bishops that are in communion with the Pope, in union and communion with the Holy Father. So it's apostolic, a living tradition, mm-hmm. a living tradition that perpetuates itself by the grace of God, through history. There's no new revelation. We have the apostolic faith. There is a deepening of the understanding, and that's under attack as well. You know, mm-hmm. that's where we have to be very astute and very humble and submissive to the Spirit, because as happens in the church, these heresies creep in, and you just get skewed a little bit, and it takes us down a weird path, you know, that further divides. So, but there's one more. What's the other one?
I think Christina has that one.
I
can't like apostolic.
I'm drawing a blank.
Think of, we say it in the creed.
The communion of saints.
We say it in the creed, in the Nicene Creed.
Okay. Universe? No, one Catholic.
Catholic is universal.
Right.
Apostolic is apostolic succession. One church. What kind of church is it? What kind of a church is it? A sinful church, because we're made up of, it's made up of sinners, you know. Christina, you know that.
yes.
Me too.
That's why I'm here.
Me too. But even though we're sinners, this church nonetheless is...
So we're giving...
Penitential?
We bet it. Well, we're going into a penitential season. We have to be penitential.
Forgiving.
We have to be forgiving. Come on.
The resurrection.
Yes, we're people who put, we profess faith in the resurrection of Christ, the living Christ, where this is not a...
Holy.
Holy, yes.
Holy, holy,
holy.
Yes.
Holy, yes.
One holy Catholic and apostolic.
Exactly.
Church. I knew I was missing.
How could you miss that one?
One holy.
Because we look at the church and we say, where's the holiness?
You know? Yeah.
But the holiness is in Christ.
Right. Yeah.
And the communion of saints.
See,
and
I
of
knew
course,
Christina would have the answer.
Yeah, she would eventually.
I got it.
I got it.
You get the star.
Wasn't me.
Well, no.
It was the Holy Spirit.
Tony gets the star. We got to take a final break, I think, and then we'll be right back. Congratulations, Christina. But Tony got three right, you got one. So, all right, everybody, one holy Catholic and apostolic. Holiness, because the holiness is in
I've heard it so
Christ.
Many times, I can't believe
the
I missed
The Blessed Virgin them. Mary, the communion of saints, and of course, we're called the holiness of life. And to the extent that we, and this is the purpose for Lent, you know, we seek to have our lives sanctified so that we can give authentic witness in the world. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Married couples, I have good news for you. There are no such things as marriage problems. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. There are no marriage problems. There are only problems in knowing and living the Theology of the Body, which answers the question, why are we a man and why are we a woman? When we know this, we come to know our legitimate needs as man or woman, and marriage is all about meeting these legitimate needs. Remaining unaware of these needs is what begins the process of exchanging hurts, leading to strained relationship. A woman's greatest need is to be relationally fulfilled by knowing her husband is emotionally present to her. A man's greatest need is to know that his wife believes in him, that he is more than adequate, and that he has what it takes to be a man. Our legitimate needs as man and woman are revealed in the very language of our gendered bodies. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we come to the end of the show. Yes, the four marks of the church. She is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And while it seems like we're not able to enter openly into the town, into the public square, we have to, we must. We've got to give witness. We've got to have courage. We have to be heroic. Mm-hmm. We have to be humble. We have to be merciful. We have to be self-righteous, right?
No, not at all.
Self-righteous.
That was a trick question.
It's a trick question. It's not in our superiority, no. We're humbly in solidarity with the rest of humanity, but we have a special gift, and we need to rediscover that gift if we haven't discovered it. receive it, be receptive, be open in order to bring it. It's really Jesus, you know, working through us, right? Mm. This is the beauty of the Holy Mass. In fact, I'm not going to go into it now because we're at the end of the show, but I'll bring it up maybe toward the end of the week as I've already been reflecting on the first Sunday of Lent. And I just have this very interesting reflection on, I love this, you know, when I go into, I was in a prayer this morning, and so I get all these things going through my head because there's so much going on, as always. It's always the way it is. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, okay, here I go again. I never learn, you know, I struggle in prayer, saying, Lord, you know, help me to, what to write? And it just like all of a sudden, after about an hour, it just, yeah, absolutely. And it was really, I like the thoughts, you know, because it's not mine, but I believe it's the Lord speaking through me in his own mysterious way, how he does that. This is a beautiful thing. It's not an easy walk. It's a difficult walk. I spoke to, well, I'm not going to go into that now. We're at the end of the show. But so what? How do we...
In preparation for Lent.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew there was something I wanted. So, okay, so today's Shrove Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, everybody have a good time, you know? A good time. But in keeping with the faith, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But have as many punchkis as you want. Mm-hmm. By the way, thanks for, we got the punchkis from, they always bring punchki. I forgot punchkis. About that, and I thank them so much. So they bring eggs and punchki. They bring no eggs.
No eggs, too.
Eggs from the farm. Great eggs, like Miguel Vargas, who brings eggs from the farm. But thanks for the punchki.
Yes.
That's kind of the popular Polish pastry for Shrove Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras is another word for Shrove Tuesday. So it's you know, get it all out of your system. You know, whatever. So Tony is a vegetarian, but he's going to give up meat for Lent. You know? It's not right. You can't do that, you know?
Not right. No. You know?
And I, as a kid, you know, I probably mention every year, but I would try to make sure I gave up lima beans and beets.
Right.
I just can't stand lima beans. No, Mom, no lima beans, no beets, no green beans, no vegetables, really, basically, period. Enough. That's my Lenten sacrifice as a child, but no, I had to give up the candy and the... But today, you know, this time, can I suggest we... part of the fast is maybe detachment. Detachment from
the phones,
the internet. You know, and I don't mean 100% because I realize these things are almost necessities. Right. But boy, I wish it could be that they weren't.
Yes.
But let's detach from that because I think that's the. We'll talk about that later in the week. All right. So have your punchki, have your
Mardi Gras,
whatever you know. And
Fat Tuesday.
Tomorrow, a day of fast and abstinence.
Right.
Means no meat, no eating between meals. Mm-hmm. You only have a little breakfast. You can maybe have a big lunch, not too big, a little supper, but no meat. And no meat, Tony. You have to think of something else to abstain from tomorrow.
I have a few things.
Doesn't mean that we're going to go to Red Lobster and have a feast.
Yes, right.
A feast.
I can tell you something about
seafood
that, you
feast.
Know. By the way, just, you know, marinara sauce I made, and then somebody brought me an angel at the end of the Mass, marinara sauce and spaghetti.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
So God is good.
Yes, he is.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll be on the show tomorrow.
We will.
So I look forward to that. We'll miss Father Tom, Father Thomas Coyce, but I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being with us. Have a blessed day. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to too high.